This summer, I'm shopping the small space solutions that America waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. Bob's has everything from retro chic bedroom sets with plenty of storage, party-ready dining sets in four fun colors, stylish and space-conscious Bobopedic sofas to feature-packed power recliners that let me kick back all summer long. So, when you're ready to snag latest trends in small space styling, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture, where America shops for furniture.
There's only one. There's only one pod in the Motor City that's keeping you up to date on everything Detroit sports. This is the Daily Ticket with your host, Jeff Rieger.
Hey everybody, what's going on? Jeff Rieger, another episode of the Daily Ticket. That's right, it's a Friday. I'm back from a couple of days of golf. Don't ask how it went because it was purely, I'm just going to curse, it was shit. I mean, the courses were gorgeous, but I suck at this game. I really do. I tried really hard. Played three great courses, Warwick Hills, Arcadia Bluffs, and Tullymore. And I lost about 50 golf balls. So I actually gave them my return address. So hopefully they'll be kind enough to maybe send the golf balls back to me. Because I'm down about, what is that, $100? Anyway, you don't care. I've quit golf until the next time I play. So let's talk about what's really important. Lions OTAs. I would say Tiger Baseball, but they suck and nobody seems to care anymore. So the Lions had their organized team activities. And there were some whoppers of quotes coming out from Dan Campbell and the players. So who better to join us and talk about OTAs than one of my favorites, Carlos Manarez from the Free Press. And this is true what I say here. He's a great driver of the golf ball. So when I bring him on, don't let him tell you he's not. This dude pipes 270-yard drives every freaking time with a driver from 1970. Carlos, yeah. How you doing?
It's not 1970. It's 2007. It's a Callaway FTI, and they're gonna put me in the grave, Jeff. Like in the coffin. Like I'm holding it, like one of those saints holds their swords. That's what I'm gonna go in the ground with.
Yes, you're going to be buried with the driver. Here's the crazy thing. Hopefully nobody tries to take it from you as you're being buried. It's like a sitcom, like somebody's watch or something.
Yeah, no. And by the way, I don't know if the course is going to be able to mail you back the golf balls because that means you got to hire a diver to go into the ocean, to the, Michigan, Lake Michigan, yes. Or into all the various ponds to fish them out.
I'm saying, listen, people don't care about my golf game. I get it.
They also don't feel sorry for you golfing, by the way.
Oh, I know. I took 2 days off from the Daily Ticket, took a day and a half off of work. I drove all around the state. It was great. Don't get me wrong. I had a blast. I just wish I was like you and good at the game. Like, it's amazing how I want to quit so much, but then I hit one 4-iron, 200 yards, and I'm back. And I think I'm Scottie Scheffler. Just not getting arrested or anything.
Don't hit any cops, though, okay? Don't get arrested. Well, hey, yeah. I'm writing a column about two columns coming up that your listeners can look forward to. Is one about how to plan the perfect golf trip.
Oh, good.
Coming out Sunday, I believe, in the Free Press. And then also, I just got fitted for irons a few weeks ago at Carl's Golfland. And that's going to be an interesting. I haven't gotten them yet, so I need to practice and play with them just a little bit. Maybe you'll be with me when I play my first round with them, and
I'm
worried about that, what the process is like. So that could help your game if it works for me.
Can I add something to great things to plan a golf trip?
Sure.
Yeah, get lessons before you go. I think that will help you. Not you. You don't need lessons. I've watched you play golf. You're very good. In fact, you make me feel awful about my golf game. But anyway, thank you for joining us on short notice, and yesterday was media availability for Lions organized team activities. And like, it's a bunch of dudes running around in shorts.
Yeah.
However, I know you writers like to glean something from every place you go. So what'd you take away from the media portion of the OTAs for the Lions?
Well, the biggest thing, the biggest drop, if you want to call it that, is Dan Campbell talking about Jameson Williams, saying he's a man on a mission and he's improved everywhere. Wouldn't get into specifics. So Jeff, you and I have been in this game a long time, and let me break it down for you.
Break it down.
A representative, shall we call him, from the team asks a question about, basically says, Jameson Williams, ? And Dan Campbell launches into, oh, well, let me tell you about Jameson Williams. He's really, And then Jameson Williams is available at the podium after OTAs. And so
you think it's a setup?
It's a setup. I mean, it's not that it's not true, but they want to put the pressure, apply a little bit of pressure on Jameson Williams, you know. Tell him, hey, we are expecting a lot from you. You're our number two wide receiver this year. The depth isn't great there, so we need you to step up. And this is part of it. You know, last year, this is going to be, you know, we talked to him afterward and you know, we asked him, you know, is this your first real full season of NFL football where you're either not coming off an injury or you're not going to be hopefully not suspended again for gambling. So he's going to have a full off season and the full training camp and then the full season. So he showed flashes, you know, toward the end of the second part of last season. But I think it was little things, the details for him of being a pro, knowing where to be, lining up right, procedural things that I think you should really expect that from a player. And it's not all guys are the same, right? I mean, some guys are just into it. They're Amon Ross St. Brown. They're just grinding. They just, all they think about is football. They're dedicated. They're smart. They're focused. Some guys like JMO, is just not that way. And I think being away from the game, having this distraction of the suspension and all that, he probably just couldn't get himself as committed and focused as he probably needed to be. So this year is his best chance to do that. And I think they're putting some pressure on him to do it.
All right. So it's interesting because when these comments broke, and let me give the people the comments. So I'm looking at Colton Pouncey from The Athletic. He said, Dan Campbell, with some high praise for Jameson Williams, sound like he's been a standout during offseason workouts. The quote, he's a man on a mission. I'm just going to leave it at that. Then somebody followed up to Campbell, where is Jameson Williams better? Campbell said, everywhere. So that's interesting because when I saw those comments, I thought to myself, like, all right, J-Mo has really improved. But you're kind of saying, the team is telling J-Mo in a roundabout way, you got to be the guy this year. And let's not forget last year when he came off of the suspension, Dan Campbell wasn't all that complimentary about Jameson Williams. At one point he said, well, he's got to catch up. And then J-Mo was big time in a couple games down the stretch. But interesting. So it's a message, you believe.
I think so. And you know, part of it is good cop, bad cop, right? Last year was bad cop. You got a ways to go, Sonny, you know, and then this year it's all right. You know, he kept his nose clean. He got better this offseason. He's done, I guess, what they've asked him to do. We talked to him a little bit. He didn't really go into a lot of detail. Said he's gotten stronger. He looks the same to me. He said he's the same weight. So I don't know exactly how you get stronger. You don't seem to have more muscle and you're the same weight, but I think he's. We never know the whole, like, is he being late to meetings? Is he prepared? Is he that kind of insider stuff? Unless it gets leaked somehow, it's impossible to know. So maybe, and you know, the other question is, was the bar low, right? If he's gotten better at everything, well, if you weren't good at a lot of things, it's not that hard to get better at everything, right? Just like your golf game, you know, if you're making quadruple bogey on every hole and now you're only making double bogey, well, you've gotten better at everything, Jeff. So I'm not saying that everything was bad with JMO, but he had the drop issues, the alignment issues. The thing with JMO that I like, I think you can see it with him, anybody can see it, is he's very competitive. You know, he loves to pass block. He loves to, you know, lay into somebody. You know, he tries hard. He runs. He's, you know, he's really quick. They need him, I think, to get to where they want to go, unless there's a surprise somewhere else on the field, unless Khalif Raymond somehow turns into someone else. I mean, they need him. You know, you move up in the draft to draft this guy. He's probably overdrafted. Right now, he's not heading to a second contract, you know, so they're trying to salvage what they can. And this would be a big black mark on, you know, Brad Holmes' draft record, by the way. The biggest miss right now is Levi Onwuzurike, second round pick. But if JMO doesn't pan out, you know, that's not a good look. So they need him. And I think they're just trying to encourage him to you know, buck him up. And, you know, it could be true, but just it's the thing is when you say, and this is unlike, you know, you've been doing enough press conferences, Dan Campbell doesn't tend to exalt anybody.
Oh, right. Man, he doesn't gush.
He doesn't gush. And that's one of the things, one of the young reporter mistakes that people make is they ask coaches, who do you think has stood out? And they don't like to single people out because then it looks like you're playing favorites. So they don't like to do that. So it was really weird that Campbell on his own basically said, J-Mo's the man.
So who was the team representative that asked the question?
You and I both know who it is.
Okay. All right.
There's only one team representative, right?
Interesting. Interesting. Tim Twentyman.
It could rhyme with that name, yes.
And another good golfer, by the way, I'm told. So another quote, and this has been a big topic on sports radio. I know you're a big fan of the Ticket in sports radio.
I only listen to Valenti. That's it.
I know. You don't listen to even me, even though I'm your good friend. Anyway, so Dan Campbell.
I love your show. I've told you that. I love your show. I love your topics.
You love it for Woj show. I understand. Yes. Yeah, I love it. So Dan Campbell was asked if this is Super Bowl or bust for the Lions. And
I asked
this
the at the top. Yeah.
Oh, that was you. Oh, that very nice.
The very top.
So this has been a big topic on sports radio because they got to the NFC title game. I mean, Dan Campbell said it's going to be hard to get back. But after a really good draft, at least we're led to believe it's a really good draft, and after Sheila Ford Hamp at the uniform unveiling ceremony said, we want to hoist the Lombardi, and Brad Holmes came on our radio station, did not hide from those expectations as well. Is it Super Bowl or bust? The quote from Campbell, your question, genius, by the way, by you, quote, I don't see bust, I see Super Bowl. So, a guy like me, if they don't make the Super Bowl, the season's a failure? Is that what we're looking at? Is the season a failure if they don't make the big game? Because failure and bust, I mean, that's pretty much the same thing, right? How do you see it?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And
that's why.
You know, yeah. Let's be real. If they get to the NFC title game again, nobody's going to say it's a disappointment. You know, every team wants, and I think Campbell went on to say that every team wants to, you know, it should be the goal for everybody to get to the Super Bowl.
Sure.
And win it. Of course. I think if they win their first round, let's just say they win the wild card, you know, playoff game, whatever, and then they lose in their second game, they don't get to the title game. I think that would be a disappointment. If they get a bye and they lose their first game, that's a disappointment. So it all depends on what they do. I guess if you win a lot more games, if they end up winning 14 games or something, get a first-round bye, and they lose, yeah, that would be a disappointment. You know, so it's hard to say it in a vacuum, but I think if they get to the NFC title game again, it's hard to say that would be a disappointment. Now, you hope, right? Because just like Jeff Rieger's career, everybody expects the Lions season and, you know, winning to just keep going up and up. So, you know, everybody wants them to get to the Super Bowl. But I think if you get to the title game again, I think that's a successful season.
I've always dreamed of being able to order my coffee in Italian like a local instead of just pointing at the menu and hoping for the best. There's something about speaking another language with real confidence that opens up a whole new world of experiences. That's why I'm so excited about Rosetta Stone Sapphire. It's their biggest launch in over a decade. It takes that research-backed method we all know and trust and adds fresh, cutting-edge features that make it easier than ever to go from knowing a few phrases to speaking naturally about the topics you actually care about. What I love is that you aren't just memorizing vocabulary lists. You learn entirely in your new language through visuals and audio, just like you did as a kid. One of my favorite new features is Chat Missions. It turns conversation practice into a game, putting you in real-world scenarios, like ordering at a restaurant or asking for directions, and giving you missions to complete. You get real-time feedback along the way, so you build that confidence before you ever have to use your skills in the real world. If you want to take your language skills to the next level, don't wait to try Rosetta Stone Sapphire. Listeners of this podcast can get 20% off their Rosetta Stone Sapphire subscription when they sign up today. This gets you access to Rosetta Stone Sapphire in 25 languages. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10 to redeem your 20% off. That's rosettastone.com/rs10.
All right, so I've asked this question on the radio. I want to ask you. What is the biggest weakness or problem about this football team? I mean, listen, the offense looks good. They brought back every offensive piece that they wanted, talking about Goff and St. Brown and Penei Sewell. The offense should average, again, 30, 32, 33 points a game. They've overhauled their secondary. Their D-line, they did that too. I just don't know if it's good enough. What is your biggest worry about the Lions?
I think it's the defense still, you know, I mean, you need to get more from all three levels, especially from the secondary. And there's no secret, right? The first two guys they draft are defensive backs. They need help. They need somebody on the outside, you know, and it's asking a lot for a rookie like Terrion Arnold to right away step in and shut guys down. Right?
Especially against the Rams and Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp. Like that first game, yep. That's a test right off the bat.
That's exactly what someone we were talking to, you know, I think it was Nick Baumgartner from The Athletic brought it up. Former Creepster, by the way. Brought it up.
Shout out.
I don't see a win there going against, you know, this secondary going against those guys right away. And that's the thing. And I asked Aaron Glenn, we talked to him about it, and I said, you know, he was a cornerback, Pro Bowl cornerback in the NFL. What's the learning curve? It tends to be kind of steep for a rookie, especially on the outside. He goes, yeah, you know, he played at Alabama, but you're not going to, you know, he played Georgia once, you know, and this you're going to play Georgia. You didn't say Georgia every week, but you're going to play elite, really good receivers every week. And you know how it is. They move those guys around to find the best matchup. So, you know, we're going to pick on the rookie if we can. And it's going to, you wouldn't expect like immediate success from him. It could happen. I mean, I don't think Sauce Gardner's come around every year. So that's not to say it's not possible. But that to me is the most concerning thing. It's a passing league. It can be tough. And that, as much as they like to talk about, you know, cornerbacks have short memories and all this stuff, they're human, you know. And when you get torched and you get burned and whatever, I mean, I really do think that was part of the Jeff Okuda failure, is that he put so much into the game. He was the, you know, the classic pros pro, dedicated, worked hard, all that stuff, and just had some issues with injuries, but still just couldn't translate into the NFL, couldn't translate his college success into the NFL. And that's hard, you know. And then when some mean people on 97.1 The Ticket, whose names rhyme with Jeff Rieger, are hard on him, it's hard. It's hard to shut out that noise. Some guys do it better than others. But
sure.
Carlton Davis, Terrion Arnold, Ennis Rexstraw,
Emmanuel Mosley.
Mosley.
Kendall really Veldor.
Guy? Yeah. They,
you he's know, not going to make the team.
There's Eric Arnst or Arm, what is it?
Amik Robertson.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Yeah. And, sorry. From the Raiders.
Yeah. He's kind of small. It's hard to see him and remember him. But anyway, yeah, it's that's going to be the weakness. And it's no coincidence that they've gone through a lot of defensive back coaches, you know. And today that was one of the weird things, is someone brought up the continuity of coaching. And like, well, they were also talking about Terrell Williams, who's a new defensive line coach.
Yes.
And Deshae Townsend is now their new cornerback secondary coach. You know, well, there's not a lot of continuity there. And what are the two, I guess maybe that signals the problem areas, right? We're not getting enough sacks, we're not getting enough pressure, we need a better defensive line play, so we get a new coach. We need better play in the secondary, so we get another secondary coach. So that's the concern for me, is those, the front and the back end, but especially I think the back end is going to be something that has to improve. Because you know, this is what happened in San Francisco, right? You just couldn't stop them in the second half. Lions built up a nice big lead on offense in the first
half. The last six games.
Gave it away.
Yeah. All right. So we're coming to the end of the podcast. 15 minutes goes really quick, and we've gone a little over. And I got to go get my kid at the bus, too. So we got to finish things up, but I appreciate you joining us. But I want to do like five rapid fire questions about the Lions. You got to think on your feet, okay? Meaning you got to stand up. No, I'm kidding. Okay, question number one. You've been around Detroit for a long time. You know, when the schedule comes out, we all play the win, 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 loss, win, 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 loss, win, win, bye, loss game, right? It used to be loss, loss, win, loss, loss, loss. Now there's more wins. What do you have the Lions going this year?
Okay, I have to confess, I've not picked. I talked about the schedule. I wrote about it.
Come on.
I haven't picked it, so This is just a guess right now, really a rough guess, but I would say 12 wins.
12 wins. So they do what they did last year. I got 10. Yeah. I got 10 and 7, and people like literally were so upset with me, which is crazy because in years past we would pray for a 10 and 7 season.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Question number 2. Jared Goff, $53 million a year. Did the Lions get ripped off or did they get a great deal?
They got a great deal, I think, because unlike his predecessor, he did something to earn it. He got them 4 points away from the Super Bowl. He's the quarterback that they need. He's the quarterback that works with Ben Johnson's offense. And I think that's really important is, you know, yes, everybody would love to have Patrick Mahomes, but you need somebody who just fits what you do. And that's where I think that, that Goff succeeds, you know, and you can, you know, not a game manager, but, you know, you have to think, would someone like, you know, I don't know, Terry Bradshaw, would he have worked in another system as well? You know, Jim McMahon was good enough to win a Super Bowl for the Bears.
Right, the Bears.
Defense. So it just depends on what you need from your team. And I think from your quarterback, I think he's accurate. He can make, you know, he keeps plays alive. He knows who his receivers are, what their strengths are. He's not exciting and dynamic, but you can win with him for sure. And I think every year, 2 or 3 years, $53 million is going to look like, you know, $10 million now.
All right. Dave Phipp, the special teams coordinator, does he know who Jake Bates is? And will Jake Bates, the Michigan Panthers kicker, be the Lions kicker, start opening day against the Rams?
Well, I think your boy Stoney was there and asked that question. He asked him.
Sounds like a Stoney question, yeah.
Well, it's also tampering. You can't talk about another player who's under
contract. Oh, come on. It's the USFL. What is that? I don't even know what that league is called. I mean,
you can't be obvious about it, I guess, because everybody tampers in the NFL.
So what did he say?
He just said, I don't really want to talk about the player, but I've heard, you know, he's doing well and I wish him well, and that's great for him, but, you know. Could he be maybe? I think it was Badgley had a good day today. He was kicking a lot of deep balls, a couple from 60 yards. The wind was with him. I think someone said he made like 10 from maybe from 60, but the wind was strong and it was with him. So
you're saying he could have kicked the 54 yarder in the NFC Championship game then?
Well, 60 yards today with the win, he probably could have made a 44-yarder in San Francisco. So,
yeah, you know, every drive I hit up north, it was crazy. I once drove a golf ball 250 yards. Of course, it was wind-aided. All right, last question for you, Carlos. Hendon Hooker, where does he fit in? I read that he was taking second and third team reps today. Is he the backup quarterback to Jared Goff? Some people are like, maybe they tried to trade him. He was a third-round pick. They still try to work him in some capacity. What's your read on Hooker?
Well, Campbell said, you know, with him, they just need him to, if something happens to Goff, keep the ship afloat. And I think that was his actual quote. And not have to go win a game, but keep things reasonable, keep things moving, give them a chance to win if he goes down. But they're not expecting heroics from him necessarily. My read on Hendon Hooker is that he has been vocal about wanting to play, you know, dealing with the injury and coming back from that. And he's not a young guy, so he needs time, and he could be trade bait. I don't think he's going to be happy. I mean, you know, Goff's the quarterback. He's the guy.
Sure.
Hendon Hooker knows. Yeah, Hooker's never going to have a future here. So the best he can do is have a great preseason, maybe play, you know, one or two games if something happens to Goff, increase his trade value. Is he good enough? Who knows? I mean, we have to see him, and he should get extensive action in the preseason. If he's good enough, then, you know, maybe that's a trade chip down the line.
If this team misses the playoffs, how will this city react? Go ahead.
I think it'll just be like a crater. Like, you know, like in the movie Dune, like the sand pit just opens and gets swallowed up and
you'll
never hear from. We'll just have to rename ourselves Portsmouth, Michigan, to start over with the Spartans.
Do you expect them to go to the Super Bowl?
I expect them to get to the NFC title game or very close to it.
All right.
Anything can happen. It was weird because they had a hard time with the Rams and they did it with the Bucks. But I think that they'll get darn close to the NFC title game. I don't know. It's hard to say. Expect if you when you've never done it, it's hard to say. Do you expect them to get to the Super Bowl?
No, I don't. I think and again, people attacked me for four straight days because I had a 10-7 prediction. I think it's difficult to get back. I do. I think they might take a step back. I think the NFC is tougher. I think the division is tougher. Mm-hmm. And I do worry, like you said, about their defense still. So I don't think they'll get to the Super Bowl, but I expect them to win at least a playoff game. you know, get to the playoffs, make a little noise in the playoffs, and then hopefully from there, ball bounces their way, and they could. But no, if I had to bet on it, I'd probably say no, I take the field, but I hope I'm wrong. It'd be nice. I mean, Carlos, I'm from here originally. I've always thought I'd be dead by the time the Lions... Now, I'm an old guy. I'm 48. I always thought I'd be, like, you know, I was hoping that maybe my daughter could witness a Super Bowl. So it'd be great if it happened, but I'm not willing to say yes just yet. So we're on the same page. So I think it's going to be a successful season. I think it's going to be very successful. All right. Carlos, read his stuff in the Freep. You're the man for joining us. And you heard it here first. He says Hendon Hooker is going to overtake Goff. Oh, wait, no, you didn't say that. I made that part up. All right, Carlos, thanks, brother. And we'll have you on again before the season starts. See if any of your opinions change.
Anytime, Jeff.
The great Carlos Manares from the Free Press. All right, no comments today. I got to go get my kid from the school bus. We'll join you on Monday. Maybe the Tigers can win. Actually, Tuesday. Monday's a holiday. Maybe the Tigers can win a game. Maybe two. I mean, I don't know. Matt Chapman, by the way,
the playoff push starts this weekend.
Right, for the Toronto Blue Jays. All right, we'll catch you Tuesday on the Daily Ticket. Bye, Carlos. Bye, everybody. See ya.